We're going to James chapter 1, verse 21, please. Verse 21, we're going to read through verse 25. This should be straightforward and simple, I hope so. Verse 21, wherefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But ye be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like the man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. First of all, let's look at this. Be receivers of the word. It's not receivers of the law of Moses, but be receivers of the word. And we know that Jesus Christ is the word of God, so we're to be receivers of that. We're not to be people who look into a mirror and then turn around and walk away and forget what we look like. A lot of times I look in the mirror and walk away trying to forget what I look like. To tell the truth, folks, in my head, I have got lots of brown hair. That's true. That's true. I know you guys don't believe it. I'm not taking it by faith. It's in my head that I have always had dark brown hair and lots of it. One time my mom told me when she was older, well, probably when she jumped off the cliff with me, she said, in my head, I'm 29 years old. I always have been. I probably always will be. I've always got hair. Even though I honestly look in a mirror every day, you might not believe it looking at me, but I look in that mirror when I walk away, I have hair. In my head, it's just, I've got hair. I am one of those people that look in the mirror and then walk away. And he says we're not to look in mirrors and walk away. It's not the mirror's fault what we look like. It's just a direct reflection. And a lot of times people will look into the law of Moses and it's a direct reflection of what they actually look like. And honestly, they will look at it and say, I'm not that bad. I look pretty good. Haven't murdered, haven't, you know, lied a lot, just little white ones now and then. Haven't cheated, haven't, you know, done drugs and all this stuff. I look pretty good, actually. Now, tell the truth, that's the way most guys look in the mirror. We walk up, we stand there, we suck in our gut. Oh, looks bad. Nope. All right, hey babe, let's go. It's the truth. And that is the way a lot of people approach the law of Moses. They look into it and they honestly will not let it tell them where their mistakes are. Or they get real primpy and prissy about the whole thing. And, oh, that's not perfect. That's not perfect. Oh. And they'll stand for hours. You know what all this stuff is? Primping, trying to get it right. You can't get it perfect. And that's what the point of the law is. You can't make this perfect. You can either ignore it and focus on your best parts, or you can focus on the bad parts. But whenever you start focusing on the law of Moses, which just reflects and shows you your failures, your weaknesses, and your bad points, well, all it does to us is condemn us, and we walk away and ignore it, or we fixate on it, and we're always trying to improve ourselves, and we can't get that done either, and all that comes under one title. It's called self-righteousness. We're either saying, I'm not so bad, which is self-righteousness, or I need to improve, which is self-righteousness. This is what looking into the law is like, but he tells us to be accepting of the word that comes into us, and in verse 25, what it says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, he didn't say the law of Moses, he said into the law of liberty, and if you continue to look into that law, being not forgetful, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now we're going to get down to some of this stuff and clarify a little bit more later. But you are to continually look into, not the law of Moses, but into the law of liberty. And if we're looking into the law of liberty, we will be a person who becomes blessed because we're looking at the law. We're looking at the law. What law, Doyle? We're looking at the law of liberty. And if we look at that law and remember that law, we'll be blessed indeed. Not, we'll be blessed indeed. We'll be blessed in what we do. That's what it's saying. We will be blessed in what we do. We will be blessed whatever we do. Anyway, so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know most people have James and Paul always at loggerheads, but if I can communicate it, we can see this works quite well together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Now he's talking about Moses coming down off the mountain. And not as Moses, who put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of what was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the whole veil taken away by the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. You know, I should read it out of a different version because it's easier. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me try to find that in something that reads in a more modern version. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the brightness fade and disappear. Their minds, indeed, were closed. And to this very day, their minds are covered with the same veil as they read the books of the Old Testament. The veil is removed only when a person is joined to Christ. Even today, whenever they read the law of Moses, the veil still covers their mind. But it can be removed, as the Scripture says about Moses. His veil was removed when he turned to the Lord. Now the Lord, in this passage, is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is freedom. All of us, then, reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, and the same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into His likeness, even an ever greater degree of glory. Glory unto glory is what it says. Verse 13, what it's saying is, Moses came down, he had the bright glowing face, it was scaring people, it made him nervous, he put a veil over his face, and they never understood that the glory of the law was going to fade, and eventually all that they would be looking at would be the face of a man who was unregenerated and who could not keep the law, who couldn't keep the glory of the law. He starts off and he's glowing, and he had put a veil over his face, he'd walk around, and finally when it completely vanished, he would take the veil off of his face, and people treated him like a normal person as much as you could Moses. And that's what this Paul's talking about. He's saying, people, every time the law of Moses is read, there's just a veil that drops down, and people don't understand that that law is fading away. But if you read it, it says when Moses turned to the Lord, that the veil was lifted because it was no longer the glory of the law, but he was looking at the glory of the Lord. And he says the veil of a person in this day and age can be lifted also if you look at Jesus Christ. If we're peering to Him, the veil will be lifted and will not look at a fading glory like the glory of the law, which is done away with, but we'll be looking at the Word, which is what James said we were supposed to be looking at, taking into our lives is the Word, and we're to look at Him, and that glory stays there forever. And we are to look, he says, we are like we're looking. One of them said a glass and that, but it's like looking in a mirror. Before, the mirror we looked at was like the mirror of the law, Moses, and we would stand in front of it and look at it like this, and we would see the reflection of ourselves. The mirror, the way it's used here is we're standing there with a mirror, but we're not to look at ourselves, because that's self-interest, self-righteousness, dwelling on ourselves. We're standing here like this, looking in a mirror this way, and seeing Jesus stand over there. That's the best we've got, because we are human and we are in a physical world, and we can't see Jesus just straight out by going outside and looking up. But when we read the Word of God, it's like looking in a mirror, and we're beholding Him as best we can, and we see the reflection of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, how He acted, what He did. We're not looking at ourselves. We're looking at Jesus Christ. We are to look in the mirror, which is the Gospel, and see how Jesus actually acted toward people. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you remember Paul said, we are to gaze upon the law of liberty. The law of liberty is looking toward Jesus Christ, is looking into the Word. And the more intently we look at the Word, the more we become changed. We become less infatuated with ourselves and either our goodness. I'm not so bad looking. Yeah, huh? Or, oh my gosh, look at me. Don't I look terrible? And walk away. When we look at the Word, the law of liberty, which is in Jesus Christ, we're peering at Him, and we will be changed from glory to glory. You don't get changed by looking at the law, because we just look at it, and the law can do nothing. The law never raised a dead person. The law never healed a person. The law never forgave anybody. But as we look to Jesus Christ, and the more we look at Him, and the more intently we focus upon Him, in that law of liberty, we will be changed from glory into glory, and we will become more and more like Him as we peer more and more upon His character and the way He approached us and the way He approached other people and what He does. The veil is lifted. That's what that whole thing in James is, or, you know, this law of liberty. Christ, He says, the veil is being lifted, but when you deal with the law of Moses, the veil will start dropping back down unless you really understand what's going on. And in that situation, you have to look at Christ as you're comprehending the law of Moses, so you see this veil. If you don't, you will be blinded and you will become self-righteous. You will become introverted into yourself. You'll become a narcissist because you'll think you're so great, or you'll become, oh, just so tore up by it because you're just not good enough. But Paul is always saying, don't look at yourself. When you look at Christ, look in that mirror and see Him standing off over there. This is the best we got right now. So look, 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 be changed. We can only be changed not by what we do, but by beholding Him. And the more we look at Him, the greater the change will happen to us. Let me read something else to you. 1 Timothy, I know that the whole James thing, be a doer of the Word, do the work, and all that kind of stuff. We want to clarify that a little bit. James has got it right. We're to be a doer, and we're to be a worker. And here is the doing and the working. Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art so called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What's your fight and what's your doing? What's your work? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. What's faith? It's trusting. What's trust? It's resting. Fight the good fight of faith. You're to look at Christ and you're to say, I'm looking at Him, how He acted, how He interacted with people. Pay attention to these things that He actually says to people. Look at who He treats the best. Look at who He treats the worst. Look at who He's nice to. Look at who He condemns. Look at Him and say, this is how He would react to me at this point. How would He react to me? If I was that person, am I that person in the Scripture? Or am I the Pharisee? Or am I the scribe? Or am I a Herodian? Or am I a sinner? Am I a tax collector? How am I, and how does Christ interact with them? That's what we're supposed to be doing, and we're supposed to be taking by faith. As we see Him deal with people in the Gospels, and as we look at it, He will be changing us from glory unto glory. As we behold His glory, He will be changing us, affecting us, changing us, and the work we're to do is to trust, to fight the good fight of faith. And folks, isn't it hard to rest? Isn't it hard to stay put? Isn't it a tough thing? Because we're always wanting to get up and, don't just sit there, do something. And we all think we've got to be doing something. There's something we've got to do. You read in Samuel, 1 Samuel around chapter 14. It's a story which is interesting, and I really want to have God reveal to me a lot more about this story. But Saul, who is going to become king, Saul and his sons are out fighting the Philistines. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, the guy that helps him all the time, he's up there and he says, hey, let's go up between these two hills right here and go up. And when we get to the bottom, we'll show ourselves to the Philistines. And when they see us, they're far enough away they couldn't kill them. When they see us, if they say, come up here, we'll know that God's delivered them into our hand. But if they say, wait there, we'll come down there, then we'll know God hasn't delivered them and we'll leave. So the armor bearer says, sure, whatever you want to do. They all walk up. They go in between the two mountains. They're standing there at the bottom. And they look up and they're standing there in full regalia, their armor and everything. Two guys walk out and they say, hey, you guys, come up here and we'll teach you something. Yeah, veiled threat. Come up here, we'll teach you something. And Jonathan looked at the guy and goes, God's going to give them to us. Let's go. And they climb up. It says, you know, just like the rock climbers today. They climb up and they get up there. And as soon as they do, they kill that guy and they kill the next guy and they kill 20 people within the area of a half an acre. Him and his armor bearer kill 20 people. The Philistines are going, oh my gosh, we're getting invaded. And they all turn on each other. God has caused the madness to fall upon the Philistines. And they all start killing each other. And they're running away and they're going down the valley and they're killing each other. And future King Saul is standing there going, what's going on? Find out what happened. Who started all this? Count noses. Tell me who's missing. And they say, well, your son's missing and his armor bearer's missing. He's the guy that got this all started. What's going on? Call the priest. And the priest comes up and he says, because remember they have the Urim and the Thunim. Well, I wish they'd speak English. They have these two jewels that's on their shoulders. And they can ask God yes and no questions. And somehow, using those two jewels, God would tell them an answer. So the guy, the high priest, come up and he's wearing this. The ark is with him. He's got this Urim and Thummim on, and Saul says, ask the Lord what we should do. Should we go up and fight? And the guy says, okay, and he starts praying, and he raises his hands up, and he starts praying, and the noise of the battle gets louder and louder and louder, and Saul's going on, and there's all this banging and clanging and yelling and slaying and screaming, and horses are running, and he looks at the priest, and he says to the priest, put your hands down. And the priest puts his hands down and he says, come on, let's go. And they go and fight the Philistine. He was more interested in, I want to do something, I want to do something, I want to do something, rather than finding out what God wanted done. He told the man, put your hands down, I don't want to know, I've made up my mind, I want to get in a fight. We're to walk by faith. We're to fight the fight of faith. And when God starts doing something, we are to go to God and say, is there a place for me? Is there some place? Or should I just go sit down? If you want me to sit, I will. God had the Philistines slaughtering each other without the help of the Israelites whatsoever. The story gets stranger after that, and we won't get into it, but the whole point was, is a lot of people really don't want to hear from God. They want the priest, the minister, to tell them that they are right. I want somebody to stand up there and tell me that I am right. I don't want somebody to stand up there and tell me something different. I don't want to hear anything different. I want to hear I'm right, and that's all. And when that priest raised his hand and he thought the priest was going to say, God says, stand by and watch me do my thing, put your hands down. We're to fight the good fight of faith, which means resting, trusting in Him and letting Him do what He says He will do, and us standing back and singing His praises and His glory and picking up what's left after the battle and enjoying the booty that's left and gathering that kind of stuff up when He tells us to. Isn't that hard? But that is the work that James is talking about. The law that he's talking about is not the law of Moses, because if you deal with the law of Moses, it just starts dropping a veil over people's faces because they're looking at it going, I don't look bad. Or they're looking at it going, oh, I've got to improve a lot. They're not seeing that the glory of the law fades away and there's nothing left but a man, where if we keep looking at the eternal Christ, looking at the mirror of Him, looking at the Word, looking at the law of liberty, we will, according to James, we will be blessed in our deeds. Whatever we do, we will be blessed, because first of all, we're waiting to hear from God. What do you want us to do? We're standing, we're waiting, we're resting, we're trusting, and when you tell us we will follow your lead, until then, we're just going to trust in you. We're not going to jump ahead. Keep looking at Jesus Christ, keep looking at the Word, understand, and the more you fill up with Him, the less you'll have to be saying, what does God want me to do? Because if you're filled with the Spirit of Christ, being changed from glory to glory, it just becomes second nature. Jesus didn't run around going, what do you think the Father wants me to do today? He beheld the Father constantly. He was always going up into the mountains to pray and talk to God the Father. And as He talked, I'm not saying He received instructions or didn't receive instructions, but you never hear Him question or doubt, what am I supposed to do? He just came down and did, and what He did do was blessed of God. And if we want that same kind of blessing, the first thing, and make it our main thing, is just to keep looking at Jesus Christ in relationship to the law of liberty. To the law of liberty. You start messing with the law of Moses, the veil will go down. You will not be blessed in everything you do, but you'll be judged. And you'll either be condemned or you'll become self-righteous one way or the other. Look at Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God will change you from glory to glory. And the more you look at Him, the more you behold Him, the more you become like Him. And has it not been said, look at husbands and wives, and after a while they start looking like each other. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but if we're the bride of Christ, then the more we look at our husband, the future husband figure in this relationship, the more we will look like him. And that might not be a bad thing to look like. All bright and glowy and able to walk through walls. Is that not cool or what? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to always look upon the face of Jesus Christ and not try to look upon the face of Moses and what he did. Help us to look upon grace and truth. Help us to see Jesus in his glory. Help us to view the Word through that. Help us to be changed. Father, let us see Jesus. Once again, I ask it, let us see Jesus each and every day, Father, and help us to set upon our hands, unless they're to raise to praise you, to set upon our hands and not do until we're perfectly instructed by you to say, go forth and do this or that. Father, help us to trust in you and not run ahead with our own self. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for your Son. He has done so many great and wonderful things in our lives and in the lives of the Church International and upon the face of this earth. Father, may all creatures praise Him and bring Him glory and honor. Father, we ask that you would lead us, guide us, and direct us this week. Father, help us to be a light in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.